Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, well, cool. Well, I want to go ahead and announce to you guys that we are going to activate Chase, and we will work him and with the intent of, if he's ready to play, he'll play, and if he's not, he'll wait another week. But he's ready to go as far as being activated, so he will be on the 53 today. I love the signs. That means you guys are all tweeting real fast.
Ron Rivera was in a chipper mood yesterday during his Zoom presser day after game with all of the beat reporters, one of whom is Sam Fortier from the Washington Post, and Sam joins us right now. By the way, I was just looking during the breakdown. Washington is now up to a 4.5-point favorite on Sunday over Atlanta. There's a ton of big-time sharp money coming in on Washington this week. Atlanta has some injuries. Kyle Pitts went to injured reserve. A big loss for them. Setting up well. There is rain in the forecast for Sunday, but it might be out of here by kickoff. Sam is with us. So let's start there. First of all, I saw a lot of you guys tweeting. I read the transcript, so I didn't watch, you know, sort of how, you know, free and happy and, you know, sense of humor laden the Zoom presser was yesterday. But was that as loose as you've seen him this year?
This year, absolutely. The only time that I think that kind of reminds me of what we saw from him was maybe last year after the Las Vegas game. They were on a 4-game win streak. Obviously COVID came in and wrecked it, but he was in a pretty good mood then. But I think that, you know, just with the way pressers were at that point and you know, the restrictions that were in place, it still wasn't as, you know, bubbly. But yesterday, I think he was just really, really thrilled with not only the way that his team is playing, but I think a big part of it is how the team responded to the win in Houston, right? Like, they played a good game. They didn't play a great game. And John Allen, you know, addressed that in the locker room after the game. And I think that's sort of been his message. And to hear one of the guys, you know, repeat that and buy in the locker room, I think probably got him a little fired up as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of that I think is important. There's a maturity with not just, you know, the coaches who have the experience, but some of these players to understand that Sunday, first of all, going into it, was a bit of a trap scenario in the NFL coming off that Monday night emotional win. They handled that well. And then to suggest after they destroyed a team that, hey, it can be a lot better than it was. You got to love that if you're a fan of this team. So let me just start with Chase Young. What do you expect we're going to see from Chase Young, and when?
The when is the big part of your question, because we really don't know if he's going to return this Sunday. Is he going to return next week at the New York Giants? Is it going to take longer than that? We still do not know. And kind of the vibe that I get is that they're not 100% sure either, because it's not like the team can do anything else for Chase Young. The things that Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera have talked about is he confident on his leg? Can he play through contact and hold 600 pounds at the point if you're getting doubled, you know, on a run or something like that, you know, and you're the guy. So those are sort of the things they need to see. And that is entirely dependent on Chase, which is not to say, you know, I think that he's lagging behind or underperforming here, but just when you have a major surgery like that, trusting your leg again is going to be a process. And I asked Ron last week, hey, do you guys regret opening his window as soon as you did, or if you could go back and do it again, would you wait on it? And he said no, because it was always going to take a certain amount of time. We didn't know if it'd be 2 weeks. We don't know if it'll be 4 weeks, but it was always going to take some acclimation time. So when he's going to be back on the field is still very much up in the air.
All right, let's talk about just, you know, where they are as a coaching staff when it comes to Chase Young. And I want to preface what I'm going to say and ask you with, we understand that he is a tremendous talent. I mean, we saw it. He was the defensive rookie of the year in 2020, and he made a lot of plays, wreaked a lot of havoc against, as we talked about back then, a lot of backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks, whatever. He was the defensive rookie of the year. They are playing so well right now up front. I'm not sure there's a defensive tackle combination in the league that's better. I don't think there's a more coordinated front four, you know, from a production standpoint situation right now in the NFL. I know you love that True Media, and I read you all the time, and I know you've got a lot of the stuff coming from True Media about how, you know, where they rank and how they rank. I love the DVOA metric, and they are number two in the league in rush defense, and their pass pressure rate is incredible, and we can see with the stunting and with the, you know, the communication, how disciplined it is, how coordinated it is, and it wasn't last year during those first 8 weeks, and Chase Young was a part of that. So do you think there's any hesitancy to kind of break up the mojo that they have right now with the players that are playing?
Yes, this is, you really teed me up because I wrote about this morning with Chase Young. I put out some video clips this morning of, you know, exactly when we talk about rush coordination, what does that look like and why is it being so effective? And yeah, I mean, I asked Ron last week and then we asked Ron again yesterday, hey, you know, because you guys are playing so well and because Chase, you know, sometimes freelanced last year and was a part, you know, Ron felt the need to call out him and Montez Sweat on the team website and say those guys need to stop pressing and trust their teammates. Is there any hesitancy there? Is there any concern? And he said that's, you know, last week he said that's a totally valid question. And this week he said, you know, that's something for Chase. He doesn't want to be disruptive to this team. We don't want that either. So we're going to integrate him gradually. You know, I think that when you see a defensive line that's playing as well as they are, as a guy, you're going to come in and want to just continue that. So I think those factors they think will help. But yeah, obviously Chase needs to be more disciplined than he was last year if they are going to succeed.
Who's better than them in the NFC right now on defense?
I mean, I guess it depends on what you think of the Eagles' additions and if, you know, the defensive tackles they brought in can raise the level of what obviously is a very good defense. That has
When's
one
Jordan Davis
flaw,
supposed to be
for?
Back? I don't mean to interrupt, but when is Jordan Davis supposed to be back for them? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, I was going to say probably them. I don't think Minnesota is, but, I mean, it's a short list, to your point, and I think that Dallas probably – you know, I still think that front, even though Washington's front is playing really, really well, I think the edges in Dallas are still tremendous.
Yeah, I think the team we watched last night in Dallas are the two best teams in the NFC. And then I think the 49ers and the Cowboys. And then I think it's, you know, I think Washington's in the conversation with Philly, with Tampa maybe, if they get healthy and they play up to their potential. But it's a short list, and they're on it after – I think the Cowboys and the 49ers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if for Washington, I think the thing is like the cohesiveness that you're seeing, not just from the line, but also from the coverage. That's the thing that I think as a coach, that, you know, if you're Ron Rivera or Chris Harris, like that gets you really excited because the last 3 weeks, I want to say, you know, even like the Derek Forrest, Benjamin St. Juice combination has been incredible. And they're able to play, I think they're able to disguise their coverages a little bit more because Derek Forrest, who you thought was going to be a box safety and special teamer, that's what Martin Mayhew said after they drafted him. Now he can play and rotate into center field, and he's making a ton of plays like, you know, on that interception against Philly. I think that they're just firing on all cylinders right now. Bobby McCain actually looks great down in the box, especially against the run. I think that they're finding the right combination of guys at the right time.
At Sam4TR, the number 4 TR on Twitter. Sam knows ball and does a really good job of covering the team for the Post. What changed? Why all of the sudden, you know, going back to the beginning of last year when we thought this had a chance to be the strength of the team and it wasn't, Through the first two games this year, major problems again. What changed over the last, you know, call it 6 to 8 weeks that turned this defense into, you know, a defense right now that is top 10, I think, in the league, the way it's playing?
I mean, there's a lot of factors. Anytime you talk about a you know, sea change as dramatic as this, I think it starts with the line and being more cohesive. And if you look at that, you know, I think it has a lot to do with the coach change that Ron Rivera made in training camp. He fired Sam Mills and he promoted Jeff Scanina. Jeff Scanina has, you know, I think really instilled some discipline on the line. Obviously, there's still some lapses, but, you know, I was talking to Montez Sweat in the locker room on Sunday, and he said, you know, his first sack was really just due to him and John Allen kind of replacing each other. They knew instinctually, because of the certain, you know, line shift that they got, that Montez needed to go inside and John needed to go outside. And that was something that wasn't planned. It was just being cohesive. And Montez said, Coach Tonina always says, you got to fill up gaps. And that's what they did. And so I think the other part is lineup change. You know, when you bench William Jackson, your star corner, your top paid corner anyway, and you make the shift and you have some young defensive backs developing, you know, that's a pretty big decision and a part of that. And I think that once you get that cohesiveness and that discipline and you start to see the results, then it sort of feeds on each other. And Ron Rivera said that for him, one of the biggest was that rush lane discipline that we were talking about.
What do you think they'll do with – I mean, we're in the moment right now, and I'm going to come back to the moment here, people. Don't worry about it. But what do you think they're going to do with Daron Payne at the end of this year?
That is a fascinating question. I don't know. I mean, if you say Bon Voyage to Carson Wentz and you free up, you know, $26 million in cap space and maybe you have money for him and you look at all the time horizons of all the contracts and you say, okay, you know, we need to pay – Montez here and Chase here, and you know, if you go through all that and you say, hey, we can keep Daron Payne, you obviously would want to do that. But I'm still a little skeptical that you could keep all four of those guys. But obviously, I mean, the man is balling right now. So if you can make it work financially, you should try.
I mean, I think that you have to keep your best players. And I think you could make the case right now that Daron Payne's one of the best five players on this team.
Absolutely. But I think that they have put themselves in a position where this is possible because they've had a really good last two drafts. If you look at, you know, the defense behind that line,
right?
You know, Jamin Davis is playing much better. Derek Forrest, Cam Curl, Benjamin St. Juice, all those guys are on their rookie contracts.
Right.
And so, If you are able to do it, you know, then I think it's a real testament to the last two drafts that they've had.
By the way, give me your top five players on the team right now. The best five players on the team are who?
I mean, probably Terry, John, Daron, Montez, and Derek Forrest. I don't know. I like Cam Curl too. I mean, Benjamin St. Juice is playing with. I don't know. This is a that's a tough.
It is tough. I think, I mean, Gibson to me, in terms of what he should be, and I think he really is producing, I think he has the ability to be in that conversation if he were featured even more. I might be on an island on that one, but all the others I'm totally with you on. We're talking to Sam 48 right now. What have we learned about Ron Rivera's thoughts on Taylor Heinicke, what he thinks of Taylor Heinicke and the overall quarterback situation over the last few opportunities he's had to talk about Taylor?
I think, like, mostly the takeaways have been that for – it's sort of like what John Allen said after the game. We don't really know why he fires everybody up and he gets – like, yes, Taylor plays every play like it's his last play, and sometimes he makes some – boneheaded plays, but ultimately, like, the dude just gets everyone fired up and he gets the best out of everyone. And so, you know, he's not perfect, and I think that there are still some parts of his game that you know, you worry about or you don't think are sustainable, but for whatever reason, the dude has you where you want to go and he has the locker room fired up, and so you stick with him. I think that's probably where Ron Rivera is at. You know, he was very complimentary of Taylor yesterday, and That's really, I don't think Ron has like had a huge epiphany about Taylor, right? But he sees what he saw last year after the Giants game. He sees what he saw after the Tampa Bay playoff game in 2020. And that's what this team needs right now. And he said, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
We're talking to Sam 48. Will Wentz be the backup this week against the Falcons?
Ron said that he was going to talk to Al Bellamy after he talked to us and the trainer. And if he's capable, if he's healthy, if he can, you know, be cleared, then it's possible. But he didn't commit to it.
I mean, is the finger still an issue? Because if he's healthy enough to play, he should be the backup. They shouldn't worry about, you know, any kind of you know, pushback. I mean, no one's in the Carson Wentz camp right now. Nobody out there, nobody in the fan base, nobody's calling for Carson. But they're in a playoff race right now, and if Taylor got hurt, the best backup is Wentz.
I'm totally with you. And so, I mean, I think, you know, he was doing some light throwing last week. I don't know if he's, you know, able to, I don't know where the finger is at because we haven't gotten that update. But if he's healthy, he should be the backup. You don't want Sam Howell to be taking his first snaps, you know, even if it's a, you know, lesser opponent, you still don't want him taking his first snaps, I think, in a playoff race when you absolutely need to keep pace with the rest of the NFC.
All right, right now, all right, forget records. Just right now, who's obviously better in the NFC than Washington?
I know that they just beat them 2 weeks ago, but I still think Philly is better because they're more complete and Washington had to, you know, have a had to have almost a perfect game plan and some really timely fumbles to overcome them. I don't think Minnesota is better. Maybe Dallas. But again, it's sort of like the defense question you asked me earlier. I think it's a short list. Probably maybe San Francisco as well.
Philly, Dallas, San Francisco. So right now you think Washington's the fourth best team in the NFC?
Who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting Tampa Bay. When
you
they're
want to
right.
put Tampa in front of them?
It's tough because I think in one game, I know what Tampa Bay has not been dominant this year, but Tom Brady, I think, is still that dude. So I would probably still put them in front.
I don't think you're nuts. I kind of feel – I'm feeling it too. Somebody tweeted me earlier and said, the last 2 days have been irrational exuberance from you, Sheehan. I don't know what it is, but what I am watching and when I am watching, I am seeing a team that is truly – a top 10 defense with an elite front four and run-stopping defense in a conference, Sam, where elite quarterback play may not carry a team in the postseason because where is that elite quarterback unless Brady and the Buccaneers come to life?
Absolutely. And I think that one key part of what they're doing this year, and it's something that we talked about earlier in the season. I remember it might have been in September, but their ability to stop the run has been monumental this year because the run is back across the NFL. You're going to have to see it this week as well with a good running team in Atlanta. But their ability to take away that from a lot of teams, you know, whether it be Philadelphia, you know, Derrick Henry is the only 100-yard rusher they've allowed.
And he averaged less than 4 yards a carry. I mean, he only averaged, I think, it was 3.6 yards per carry.
Exactly. And so, like, Montez Sweat, you know, I think Jack Del Rio said last week, he thinks he's the best defensive end against the run in the league right now. And I think that what they're doing and the way that they just shut down Damian Pierce on Sunday, I know the Texans' offense isn't very good, but man, I think them stopping the run has been absolutely massive to this stretch.
Totally agree. And it started with the first Philadelphia game. You know, they were the only team in the league, really, to hold Philadelphia to, like, less than 3 yards per rush. Minnesota ended up with, like, 2.4 yards per carry. What they did to Pierce Sunday, and I emphasized this a lot yesterday, I don't think people understand. This dude had 137 yards against Philly, was averaging 4.8 yards per carry. He had 8 yards on 10 carries. They have completely shut down running teams who want to run the football from running the football. And when you do that and the other team can't answer with elite quarterback play, you're going to have a chance in all these games. And they've, you know, look, they could have been on the wrong side of the Indy game. They could have been on the wrong side of the Green Bay game. They clearly could have been on the wrong side of the Chicago game. And this conversation that we're having and I'm about to ask you about would be moot. But it's not. They came through those games, and now we know they've got a formula this year that is, you know, tried and true from the past that actually may carry teams to playoff wins. So where does this end? How far can they go?
I still think their ceiling is capped because the offense is not explosive in the way that you would hope it would be, them being able to throw the ball down the field. But the formula continues to work. If they can maintain this level that they're at, I think that you could win a playoff game. You could, you'll probably have to go on the road and win one in the first round. But I think that one playoff win is probably possible right now. You this morning, I feel like you're almost as giddy as Ron was yesterday, but I'm probably still putting that ceiling on him.
Well, I think what you said, you know, gives me pause. And it's not so much that they aren't explosive. I think what gives me pause is that we know they're capable of self-inflicted damage on offense, and a lot of it. I mean, if we go back to last year's four-game winning streak, the Dallas game was so hideously ugly on offense. And that was before all of the COVID and the injuries. And I know that they didn't have, you know, Logan Thomas and J.D. McKissic during that stretch. And their defense, by the way, was horrible. So that's the big difference this year. But that's what gives me pause that against Dallas, against San Francisco, against, you know, potentially the Giants twice who can play some defense, that they could have an ugly-looking offensive game where the offense could lose the game. But we have not seen that here recently. Although we had three straight fourth-quarter interceptions, Sam, against Indy, against Minnesota, and against Philadelphia that cost them in one game, didn't cost them in the other two, but could have. If they can avoid that, and by the way, just punt it instead of turning it over, I think they're going to be in every single game with a chance to win all of them, including any kind of postseason game they have.
I totally agree, and I think that one of the biggest things, and this is Carson Wentz did this, and Taylor has done this, is giving up short fields and you know having those short drives. Obviously, you saw the sacked fumble in Philly as well, but there's been a lot of. Even when Taylor came back and they were on that win streak against Green Bay, they had played a lot of non-complementary football. You know, they had put the defense, even though it was playing better, in really tough short field situations. And if they can continue to avoid that and the offense, you know, being able to hold up their end of the bargain as they have the last 2 weeks, like you mentioned, that would go a long way because you know the defense is going to get up for those games. You know that they're going to keep you in it. So it's, are you able to avoid those self-inflicted wounds?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the oversimplified way of describing it is turnover margin. We know as football fans how important that traditional number is, but they're plus three in their last two games, and it does seem like, you know, there's going to be a fine line in all of these games the rest of the way, and the difference will come down to who had the extra, you know, possession or two or that opportunity on a super short field to score. And that's kind of what happened in the Minnesota game. It's kind of what happened in the Philadelphia game. And they didn't need it on Sunday, but the rest of the way they'll need it because they're playing better teams. All right, let's do this again in a couple of weeks. I don't think they're going to be out of it. I think this thing is something they're going to ride right until the end. I'd be surprised if somehow it went south, you know, quickly. Like it did last year, which was really a product of COVID injuries, you know, the schedule thing with the Philadelphia game and then the Dallas game, et cetera. They're just better, so much better as a team right now than they were a year ago.
This is the playbook of Ron Rivera teams. Other than, you know, that 1 year they went 15-1, you know, his teams almost every year have gotten off to slow starts, but they make, you know, they round into form somewhere around the midpoint. And then it's a race to the end. And sometimes you, get a little bit ahead and you're able to carve out a playoff spot. Sometimes you need things to break your way. We've seen that, you know, the 3 years he's been here, certainly, and yep. before that in Carolina. This is Ron Rivera, you know, in his most comfortable.
Thank you, as always. I love the conversation with you. Keep up the good work. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate it, Kevin, as always.
Sam 48, Washington Post. So I put a poll out yesterday at Kevin Sheehan, D.C. I gave four potential regular season outcomes for Washington. The four outcomes were, with six games left, winning three of them for 9 wins total, a 9-8 record, making the playoffs. That was outcome number one. Outcome number two was winning 9, finishing 9-8, and not making the playoffs. Option three was winning 10, so winning 4 of their final 6 and making the playoffs. And I think 10 would absolutely do it. And then option four was only winning 2 more games, winning 8 games and not making the playoffs. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. They've got 6 games left. They're a 6-5 football team, winning 5 out of their last 6 games. Where does this end? Which of those four outcomes, 8 wins, 9 wins, or 10 wins? Which is the most likely and which produces a playoff season for Washington? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. I will give you my answer when we come back. Experience the excitement of the BetMGM Sportsbook at Nats Park with a 4,000-square-foot bar, wall-to-wall video screens, 6 betting windows, and 17 betting kiosks. There's no better place to catch NBA, NHL, MMA, pro, and college football action. Place all your parlays, props, and futures bets while enjoying daily happy hours. Discover why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. The BetMGM Sportsbook is located near the center field entrance of Nats Park, so grab your crew and experience all the sports action you can handle every day. Come see why the BetMGM Sportsbook at Nats Park is the place for all of your sports and live betting action. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem. 1-800-522-4700.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.